going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Time flies when you are making award-winning caliber radio, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Rob Brown Show, the three-time South Carolina Broadcasters Association Sports Talk Radio Show of the Year. Rob Brown, the great Milonzo, and you.
If we were so blessed to go up there for a fourth time, we're going horsemen, right?
Oh.
I mean, when we're on the stage.
On the stage, on the way to the stage, on the way off the stage, in our picture with the trophy, we're going to get one. Is it this year? Is it next year? Who the hell knows? But when we grab Crystal Trophy numero cuatro, and we will have some added competition this year because there's another elite caliber show on this very station, Wire to Wire with Diesel and Cole Bryson, or as we call them, Cole Bryan and Kerosene in the afternoons. They're going to go for it this year, too. A little heated, friendly competition here on the show. But when we capture trophy number four, the picture's going to have the four in it. I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, we'll have a stream away screen holding up the fours. And I may just go, you know, we've got some taglines on the show. Like, I bring us back by saying, it's the Rob Brown Show. Rob Brown, the great Milonzo, and you. To the point that it is on our lovely character art brought to us by Luca and Ezra on the stream, they wrote on it as the caption to the show, Rob Brown, Lonzo, and you. It will likely be replaced with just bringing us in as the four-time South Carolina Broadcasters Association Sports Talk Radio Show of the Year Award winners, just so we can hold up the four every time. The humility is important, but sometimes overrated.
Should we get, you know, grab two other guys if we were to win to throw up the four just so we have four people?
We have.
Because hopefully there are two other guys going to be there if they're willing to do it. I don't know.
I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do if we get to four. I want to say win, but I'll practice that aforementioned humility. If.
Yeah, I learned my lesson 2 years ago.
Yeah, that one stung a little bit.
I'm not doing that again.
If we get to four, I am going to reach out to every consistent contributor on the Rob Brown Show, Abe Gordon, Lulu Kessin, Rashad Beard. I'm going to reach out to everybody, even the ones gone by, Savannah from back in the day, right? Like even our old Jay Busby from Yahoo Sports, our old contributors who make the occasional Emily Adams, all the Rob Brown Show Hall of Famers. I'm going to be like, can every one of y'all send me a picture of you holding up the four? And I'm just going to have a collage of every contributor of the show holding up the four.
Well, I did. The one I want to see is Rashad. So, I mean.
Oh, Rashad will do it. He's a wrestling bro, too.
Yeah, Rashad's four will be monumental.
Oh, for sure. For sure. We'll have Shad holding up the four. We'll get. Hell, I'll get John Blau to send us a picture holding up the four. All right? We'll get John holding up the four.
I've never looked up to see what John looks like.
Jumba's a good dude. I met him, actually met him in person for the first time last year at the ACC championship game. Here's what I'll tell you. Do you know why we have John Blau on the show in and out every week? John Blau friggin' takes his job seriously. And I say that in the most complimentary way possible. Right? Like this, when John Blau's working, John Blau is dialed the bleep in. Like Brady level of intensity. Like if I'm pretty sure if John Blau looked down at his tablet and saw he had a typo in an article he published, he would spike it like Brady. Like he's intense when he, and I, again, full compliments for that. That's a level of intensity that I strive to and fail to capture. Like I take the job seriously, but I don't have that. The intensity level is off the charts. That's why I love having John Blau on Monday. All right. We have talked a lot.
I was going to say, and if you had to spike your tablet every time that you misspelled something.
I don't make spike tablet money. I damn sure don't make spike tablet money when I have a typo. I'd be spiking three a day. I don't have that kind of money. I don't have rookie first round pick capabilities, man. All right. So we got a lot to talk about in the final hour of the show. Want to get to this story real quick. We mentioned it back in the water cooler cheat sheet. Might as well bring it up here and now. The University of Kentucky, y'all, is asking its board of trustees later on today to reclassify its athletic department as an LLC, a limited liability company slash corporation, whichever one you want to go with. Effectively, asking to establish its athletic department as an LLC. An LLC is a business structure that provides limited liability protection and pass-through taxation. It means that owners, and I don't know who gets listed as the owner of the LLC. I guess the university itself would be my assumption. It means owners are not personally liable for the company's debts and obligations, and business income is taxed at the individual level, not the company level. If an LLC incurs debts or legal liabilities, the owner's personal assets are generally protected from being acquired in order to pay off those legal liabilities. That is to say, should the LLC end up with debt or some legal obligation, which, why would that happen to a school's athletic department? Bad NIL deals and lawsuits. Let me be very clear. Rob Brown is not a business attorney or an attorney of any type. That may shock you to learn because I'm a big dum-dum. Law school was not in the purview of one Rob Brown. I figured out I can get money for talking. I talk a lot. Let's make that happen. So I did not go to law school. But based on the research I have done since this happened, effectively what happens here is if the athletic department at the University of Kentucky was to acquire any sort of debt, the school would be protected from having any of its assets acquired via litigation to pay off said debt. Why would that school go into debt? Again, working on my own assumptions here, that would most likely be bad NIL deals and lawsuits that are spurred because of them. So, kid comes to Kentucky, signs some sort of NIL deal for $250 million, and then ends up leaving. And let's say down the line, because none of this, obviously, as we wait for the House settlement to happen, or it to go to trial. Because, by the way, and I talked about this a little bit earlier in the show, Claudia Wilkins, the judge overseeing the House lawsuit, has said publicly from the bench that she is good with every settlement clause in the House lawsuit, with the exception of the NCAA's proposal to institute roster size limitations with immediacy. The NCAA proposed regulating and limiting roster sizes for college athletic teams starting now. Claudia Wilkin, the judge in the case, said, no, we're not doing that. Claudia Wilkin said, you are going to create a world in which kids who have signed scholarships, enrolled at schools, gone to that school under the assumption that they were going to be playing sports, would be actively kicked off the team and would not have the ability or opportunity to find another place to play. Right? So they said, come back. She said, come back with some sort of structure, some sort of proposal that fixes that. What is the NCAA's inspiration to actually do that? Well, the answer is this. Either they come back with something that Judge Wilkin approves of and therefore approves the House settlement, or no settlement is reached and this thing goes to a trial. And it is, as of right now, based on the reports I've read, conversations I've had, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, it is consensus at this point that if this thing goes to trial, the NCAA will lose everything. And if you thought a $2.3 billion settlement was a big deal, they could lose exponentially more than that via a ruling from the judge.
How would they lose? Lawsuits and
yes.
things like
that? Okay. The House settlement has been reached in order to avoid a lawsuit from the plaintiffs in the settlement against the NCAA. A lawsuit that is, again, widely believed by those who have been following this story and diving into the legal side of it, that the NCAA would get their metaphorical asses proverbially kicked in a courtroom. And that $2.32 billion could grow to, like, a lot more, which $2.3 million is a lot of money, and it could grow to more than that. That 2.3 is what they settled on. Right? That's a number the NCAA went, well, compared to what we could lose in a lawsuit, we're good with $2.3 billion. So they've got to come back within 13 days with a roster size agreement that the defendant or the plaintiffs in the case would say, yeah, we're good with that. And the judge, who is the most important voice here, the judge would say, that's fair. That treats the current athletes and future athletes with fairness based on everything else that's playing out. So, as a result of that, the University of Kentucky's Board of Trustees today will have a discussion about transitioning the athletic department to an LLC, to a limited liability corporation. That would, again, should down the line, a student athlete have some sort of disagreement with the athletic department and sue the athletic department and win against the Kentucky Athletic Department, the athletic department would not be held liable legally for those damages. That money would have to come from somewhere else. That is to say, a judge could not say, Kentucky owes this player X million dollars, and in order to make that money available, Kentucky has to sell everything in its weight room. They got to sell the football stadium. They got to sell all their equipment, whatever, right? They don't have to sell their stuff. They would be given the opportunity to come up with, create other ways to pay whatever damages might be awarded from Kentucky's athletic department to whoever it is that is suing the school, which is, I think, the most likely way that they would end up suffering some sort of damages. Here is what ESPN's Myron Medcalf wrote up in his article announcing this. He says, quote, the public-private partnership
could give the school access to unorthodox revenue streams, like real estate, as collegiate sports undergo a transformational shift with schools, under the terms of the House settlement, expected to give a pool of $20 million to athletes who may also still have the opportunity to capitalize on outside NIL deals. The school said the proposed model, which would make the athletic department a holding company, is one it is used outside of athletics to acquire a pair of local hospitals. So, what could happen here is that as an LLC, the University of Kentucky could invest in outside things, again, like real estate. So, all of a sudden, Kentucky could say, start buying up parcels of land around the university, as an athletic department, could start buying up parcels of land. Let's say, I'm just making this up as I go, around the football stadium. And could then begin selling those parcels of land. And that money would go into the athletic department, could be put towards that $20 million pool, or could be put towards investing in the athletic department itself. So a Kentucky fan who, let's say, owns a piece of property that is a half mile away from Big Blue Nation, away from the stadium, could sell that property to the school for $1 million for their acre of land a half mile. And then the school could then use that to have as an investment property, right? They could rent it out to someone. Some big time Kentucky football fan could pay them $500,000 a year to rent that house. And now they have a tailgating spot that is right there. Or Kentucky could buy that property and they could make it a new parking lot. And then they could sell parking to games for $10,000 a year. You get a season-long parking permit that allows you to park right there at the stadium to walk to Big Blue games, whatever. Point is, it becomes an investment property. They could invest in other businesses, right? You're a widget manufacturer with a widget factory in Lexington, Kentucky. And Big Blue comes to you and says, hey, widget factory owner, we know that you're a big Kentucky Wildcat fan. Have we got an opportunity for you? We would like to buy X percent of your company. And as X percent of your company minority owners, we would get X percent of your property or of your revenue. And in return, you can rename your company the University of Kentucky Widget Factory. The Big Blue Widget Company. The Wildcat Widgets. Whatever you want to name it, right? You could come up with a partnership there. And now that business owner, big Kentucky fan, that's why his widgets are right there in Lexington and all his widgets are colored blue, could now say, instead of something where he pays Kentucky to be the official widget manufacturing company, he could actually be a partner with the athletic department. They now are invested in. They own half that company or 49% of that company. They get 49% of the revenue. And in return, this guy gets to say, do you want to own the only widgets made by the University of Kentucky? Then come on down to Big Blue's Wild Willie's Widgets Company. We got widgets that are big, widgets that are small. But one thing's true, Big Blue owns them all. Go Widgets.
I don't know if it's a good Kentucky accent.
I don't either.
My family's from Kentucky. They don't sound like that. But still, I mean, it was a fine effort.
I assume Kentucky's got like regions. Like there's like the mountain, the wild, the mountain, and then there's like, because they got horse racing in Kentucky, and I just always assume horse racing people sound like this right here.
That sounds more like Alabama.
No, Alabama's more slow and drawn out now. Alabama talk real slow. Alabama's Charles Barkley. Also, Chuck absolutely cooked the NBA yesterday. It was hilarious because they gave us the Thunder Grizzly game on TNT, and they put Clippers Nuggets. Now, granted, it turned out to be the right decision because the Thunder were down 29 and came back and won the game, and the Nuggets got their asses kicked by the Clippers last night. But Chuck was pointing out that the Grizz had lost two games by a combined 75 points. And he's like, why in the world are y'all putting Clips Nugs, which has been a good series, on NBA TV, which nobody watches, and putting a good series, on TNT, and putting a good Clippers Nuggets game on NBA TV at 10 o'clock at night. And he was right. Ended up that they guessed right. Yeah, but it was still hilarious.
I think NBA TV's like still in standard def or something.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Chuck cooked the NBA. No, he ended up being wrong, but the point is he was willing to go off like that. Chuck's got a foot out the door. He's ready to go. Anyway, point is here, this is an interesting decision from the University of Kentucky. Kentucky, by the way, the school's athletic department, according to ESPN, generates more than $166 million in revenue, which is a top 20 number. And under this model, and this is part of the reason that when they're like, oh, $20 million a year to the athletes, they generate $160 million a year, okay? And they don't do it because their AD's really funny. All right, they do it because y'all care about the athletes. So under this model, I would assume, and perhaps I'm incorrect, I'd assume that number skyrockets, right? Because there's bound to be, I'd take a stab in the dark, there's probably a couple of good business people that graduated from Kentucky. Probably a good couple of business people that Kentucky could call and go, hey, yo, we will pay you X million dollars a year to come here and be the chief business strategist for the new Kentucky Athletic Department LLC. You come here, you make us some good investments, and you're going to get X percent on a return in revenue for whatever you generate. I would not be shocked if Kentucky goes LLC and it works. If that $166 million a year skyrockets, and all of a sudden that $20 million a year to the athletes, it's no longer 12% of the revenue. It's like 3% of what they bring in. So we'll see. The story is very compelling, man. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We got some more draft talk, some more NBA playoff talk, and more. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. The Fan Upstate. So, the national anthem played before sporting events across these great United States of America. There has been a discussion for a very long time about should there be a proper way to perform the national anthem. Some people like it done very traditionally, right? Play it the way Francis Scott Key wrote it. And despite the fact that I point out the fact that it's actually really long, all right, there's more than just the part that we sing as our traditional national anthem. I like having it done in different ways and different styles. Because to me, the United States of America should be, a cultural melting pot. There is room for everyone's culture to be shared and respected in this great country of ours. And I think there is something poetic in the performance of our national anthem reflecting that. I like it. There was a couple of years ago that there was a big debate because I don't remember if it was a playoff game or a Super Bowl or what, down in New Orleans, and Trombone Shorty came up, and they had a very like jazzy, upbeat version of the anthem. We have, of course, heard it performed on pianos and by rock and roll bands and by country music artists and by all these different methods. Well, hockey has taken to a very interesting set of national anthems. I want to start back during the regular season when the Nashville Predators had a gentleman by the name of Bruce Guest, a 9-year Marine Corps veteran. He was invited to perform the national anthem. Play a little clip of it, great one. And I want you to pick out the unique instrument I have in all my years of attending sporting events live never heard this particular instrument utilized to play an anthem.
He just said congas. I mean,
the bongos.
Okay.
Played conga style.
Ah.
I love it.
It's not much.
I love it.
It's not much different than doing an acapella.
It's really not.
I mean,
but just, it's a very unique sound.
Also, that would be really hard to do.
Yes, it would. Yes, it would. And it's just a two bongo setup. But my man Bruce Guest playing the national anthem on the bongos and singing it, performing it. I thought that's fantastic. I thought that might be the single most unique and interesting way I have heard the national anthem played in a very long time. And then, over the weekend, the LA Kings said, "Hold my red, white, and Pabst Blue ribbon." So I'm going to kill it there because the feedback there was awful. That was from the NHL Network.
The treble just was going through my skull. But
the Los Angeles Koreatown Senior Center harmonica class.
So I'm just picturing a bunch of old people up there with harmonicas?
Yep, you are. It was a bunch of senior citizens from the Korean community in Los Angeles. And I love two things. I love multiple things about it. Number one, the fact that there's a senior citizen harmonica class. Okay? Incredible.
I don't know. They are old people. I thought that might turn you off as far as...
I love old people.
Okay.
Right. I hate entitled people.
Okay.
And a lot of old people are entitled.
All right.
Okay? I hate young entitled people too, just so we're very clear. All right? But y'all old people at the Costco, y'all got to hurry the hell up. All right? Y'all at the Costco... I love Costco. Y'all got to hurry the hell up. I've never met more entitled old people in my life than at the Costco.
You do know that I believe it's, or is it Sam's Costco or Sam's Club, are eliminating checkout lines altogether. You can just use your phone.
Sweet! Not even sarcastically? That's awesome. That's awesome. Let me just beep, beep, beep with my phone, pay on my credit card, get the hell up out the store. All right? I'm great with that. Now, I love that this class exists in the first place. Number one. Number two, I love that at some point in the regular season, the NHL was like, or the LA Kings were like, screw it, why not, right? Like, let's have some fun. Number three, I love that not only in the regular season did they say, screw it, let's let the Los Angeles Korean Senior Center harmonica class play the anthem, but the Kings fans were like, yep, love this, and requested they come back for a playoff game. Then I love the fact, and you can hear it in that clip, even though it's not the best audio, the Los Angeles Koreatown Senior Citizen Harmonic Class started playing the anthem, and you can hear the Los Angeles Kings fans start to pick up the volume, singing along with the harmonica class playing the anthem, which means that in Los Angeles, California, a city that many of you incorrectly believe just hate everything about America, one of the most diverse cities in America, had an arena full of people screaming the anthem along with a bunch of senior citizens playing harmonica. If that's not America, I don't know what is.
I think you're misrepresenting to a degree. I mean, I'm sure that's not representative of that place as a whole. Those are hockey fans. And I have a question, though. Which professional sport is the most judgmental? As far as something like that, hockey, I believe, is more accepting of that sort of thing. I'm not so sure that football would like that.
I'm going to say this. I had this actually hilariously had this conversation with Cody Decker last Saturday. Football is so regionally based, right? You and I have had this discussion before. The way that people feel about football is different community to community. And all I need to point out around that is college football is king here, and it's not true anywhere else in the country. The NFL is. It's just how it goes. Anywhere else in the country, the NFL is king, and college football checks in second. That is part of the reason that the Southeastern Conference has dominated college football for as long as it has, because all of our cultural influence goes behind college football here. It goes behind the NFL everywhere else. I love when the anthem is presented in different ways, because I think it is the most reflective thing about, to me, what this country is. Diversity in culture and background and style. And when we allow the anthem, which is supposed to represent all of us, to be performed in different cultures and styles and voices and backgrounds, that to me is the most poetic way to represent America. And if that means the Los Angeles Koreatown Senior Center harmonica class, backed by 19,000 LA Kings fans screaming out the Star Spangled Banner, patriot it up, baby. I love it. That's incredible. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Final segment of the Rob Brown Show goes now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo with you. We have been talking NFL draft this morning. Let us continue to do so. I want to go back and I want to clarify to the best of my ability, which clearly this morning is not super. I want to go back and clarify to the best of my ability the thoughts I've had on the selection of Teteroa McMillan, the wide receiver out of Arizona, by the Carolina Panthers at number 8 overall. 6'4", 219 pounds. He is a jump ball athlete. The way I described him earlier was 50-50 balls are 70-30 balls if you throw them to Big T-Mac. Because he's an athlete. He jumps out of the gym. He can go up and get it. And I believe that college capability will translate to the National Football League. He is that exceptional as an athlete. So, I said earlier in the show, I like the pick. I do not love the pick. And I'm going to stand on that. And again, let's be real clear. As old SVP said earlier in the day, it is an exercise in futility. He didn't put it that way. I'm putting it that way. It is an exercise in futility to go B+. Because we don't know. We'll find out in 2 years, right? We'll have some guys that have great rookie years. We'll have some guys that struggle. We'll have some guys that outright stink. We'll have some guys that get cut before the year even starts. Exercise in futility to assign a grade yet. But what you can grade is where teams met needs, failed to meet needs, and what you think. Speculation is a large, if not predominant, part of our job in this industry. So, let's speculate, shall we? Here's what I see out of T-Mac, because he has made it known that he does not like Tet as the nickname. I respect that. I shan't call him that. T-Mac is what we're going with here. Here's what I see out of T-Mac. I see a jump ball specialist, which is great. That's a good thing. As an apologist for my very special baby boy, Bryce Young. Good. Having a jump ball specialist is a great thing for an NFL quarterback. And I'm not just talking about my special baby boy, B.Y. Patrick Mahomes needs a jump ball guy. Josh Allen needs a jump ball guy. A guy that, when James Pierce is coming off the edge and that clock goes from 2.75 to zero real quick, and you look down the field and you see your guy, your jump ball specialist is 1v1, you are comfortable going, yeet, and just phew, bombing it down there and going, he's either catching it or nobody is. It's nice to have that in the back pocket. Not every NFL quarterback has that. So I'm glad that you added that because you didn't really have that on the roster. There's a chance that maybe that could be Xavier Leggett. But Xavier doesn't have the hops that Big T has. A. And B, as much as I love Xavier Leggett, Lonzo and I are both big XL guys. We both love Xavier Legette. The hands weren't perfect last year. They weren't even great. They were good last year. They weren't great.
And the look of disappointment on his face every time because he knew it was him.
Yeah.
It wasn't, for the most part, it wasn't a bad pass. It was just he dropped the ball.
One of the things I said last year, to the chagrin of some of the haters, was Bryce Young, I mean it when I say, probably had 25 footballs dropped. Dropped. Not close and they didn't catch it. I mean, in the hands, dropped last year. And XL was responsible for a chunk of those. I don't want XL doing anything but standing in front of a jugs machine, getting rockets lasered into his chest at 1,000 miles an hour until those hands get delicate for BY. But now I got to jump ball guy. What don't I have with Big T? Couple of things. What I don't have in Big T is a guy who is explosive into and out of his breaks. He's a guy that can get the head around. He's a guy that's got clean routes, but they're not explosive. When the ball is snapped, he does not have a first step that is going to get him behind a cornerback that is in press coverage. He has to use his hands and his body to get out of press coverage and get open. What's that mean? That means that this offensive line had better keep giving Bryce Young time. Because BY does not yet have to right now. And I think Jalen Coker could potentially grow into this role. But he does not have that guy that if he's just getting hammered at the line of scrimmage, he can go snap, look, out. Like that sub-1 second release of the football. That bang, throw. He doesn't have that yet. And that's a resource that I hope they find. That's not Big T. Big T's a hands and body to get open guy. He needs that 1.5 seconds to get clear of a DB to present the target to Bryce Young. If I'm going to use a pick at 8 on a wide receiver, I'd like an explosive first step guy. A guy that I know, snap, look, he's got room. More often than not, I can look over there at the one spot and trust that if it's a press coverage route, if they're playing up because they're trying to generate pressure on my offense, that at least a percentage of the time, that dude, I can put him in a route running concept, and I can trust that that guy on step number one is going to create separation. And I do not think that right now you have that with Tet McMillan. I don't think you have that yet. And if that is the case,
can't help yourself, can you?
I'm telling you, it's going to take some time. Like I said, I still slip and say the San Diego Chargers. You're just going to, I apologize to Big T. It's going to take some, I'll get there, but it's going to take some time. So, the way that I am looking at this is you've given me a precise route runner, if not an explosive one. You've given me a consistent route runner, if not an explosive one. You've given me a guy that I know is going to present a target. It's going to take him a second to get there. He can change direction well. He's very sharp. It's a good, clean route. It's just not going to generate a lot of separation until he gets to his spot, sinks the hips, changes direction, and goes. Got a big frame. Appreciate that. Got a guy that can come over the middle. Appreciate that. I would love for Xavier Legette to be the over-the-middle guy. I'd love for him to be the over-middle guy, but he's not that yet. I'm not saying he can't be. I'm not saying he won't be. I'm saying he's got to get hands developed before I trust him to be my consistent over-the-middle option. Big T can come in and be that guy right out of the gate. So I do not dislike the pick. When I said I don't love the pick, it is because of two things. Number one, I think Big T would have been available a little later in the draft. I think Carolina could have tried. Maybe they didn't get an offer. There is one more thing that broke last night. That other thing that broke is apparently Big T and BY were working out together this offseason and doing so under the radar out in Los Angeles, California. Apparently, BY really liked Big Ted. Apparently, BY had input to go get Tet. which means that, assuming that is true, and as of right now, I got no reason to believe that it's not. Apparently, BY had some level of control over this pick. Maybe not the control of the pick. Maybe he didn't write up the envelope they handed old Raj up there on the stage that made Big T a Carolina Panther. But at least Morgan and Canales were allowing BY to have some input on this pick here. And I think that's good. Because one of the things that needed to grow for Bryce Young was confidence. One of the things that needed to grow for Bryce Young was his belief in both himself and his role in the program. You want to make a guy feel like a franchise quarterback? You want to have him believe in himself as a franchise quarterback? Treat him like a franchise quarterback. If BY was working out with Tet, scratch that with Big T. If BY was working out with Big T in the offseason, and he liked what he was having going on enough that he went to Dave and Dan and he said, Double D, that's my guy. If I have input, that's the guy that I want. And then they went and got that guy for him. They didn't trade back. They didn't go Jalen Walker, which I thought was the pick. But if BY was at least somewhat in control of this pick, said, that's my guy. I've been working out with him. I like him. We got chemistry. That's who I want. And they said, you got it. You're treating him like a franchise quarterback. And I think treating him like a franchise quarterback is how you make him feel like a franchise quarterback. And making him feel like a franchise quarterback is a step in the direction of making him play like a franchise quarterback. And him playing like a franchise quarterback is the step to him being a franchise quarterback. Also, texter on the Hub City Spartanburger text line at 844-326-3663 has submitted the nickname King Tet. I'm going to say two things. Number one, got to earn it. Number two, he said he doesn't like Tet as a nickname. I am going to say if he goes out there and balls out and I'm wrong and he turns into a stud, he might have to deal with King Tet because that's a solid name. I like that a lot.
So if LeBron goes out and does that, everyone's mad. But if Bryce Young supposedly goes out and does that, it's okay.
I don't know who everybody is. Listen, I had zero issue with LeBron taking Bronny. And oh, BT Dubs.
I wasn't talking about that. I'm talking about going and getting other players to come to the, like they're the GM and the coach and stuff. It just looks like the same thing.
Franchise so. Dudes is franchise dudes. That's it. Alex said, I hate to say it, but I hope Bryce doesn't perform the next 2 years and we draft Lenora Sellers. Listen, I had this conversation last night when I got a little bit upset about the Saints taking a guard. The NFL does not give a damn where you went to college. They don't care. Never have cared. You want that because you're a Gamecock fan? The Panthers want BY hey, to be a star.
Maybe they just want it because Lenora Sellers, if he continues to get.
I mean, he might be a stud.
He's going to be.
He might be a
well,
dude.
He is. We'll see what he if he continues to grow. All right. The first thing that's Xing is Alex Caruso.
Alex Caruso Xing 10 points last night in the game.
About his defense. Apparently, he had a excellent defensive game.
He did.
And people are starting to understand that he's pretty good.
Hustle monster, baby. Listen, Alex Caruso is pretty good. He's been underappreciated, I think, his entire career, predominantly as a defender. He is a gnat. He's just in your face, and he's not going anywhere. If you have a good game and Alex Caruso was on you, you had a good game.
But not in a way like Dellavedova was back in the day where people just want to punch him. I don't think
no, he's a pest defensively, and not a pest like hand check, like he's trying to get away with the sneaky fouls or whatever. He just plays good D, stays low, center of gravity's down, quick lateral step left to right. You cannot go shoulder down and get around the guy. Like, he's going to check you.
All right, the next thing is Xing is Jenkins.
Quinshon?
Yes.
Best
available running back. He's not the only one Xing, but he's the first one to show up on my feed.
I'm racking my brain. You had Ashton Janty come off
Travion,
the board. I was going to say, I think Travion Henderson's better.
They were fairly equal during the season. Yeah.
I think in terms of like build and style, I think Travion Henderson is slightly better. I'd go, honestly, I might say Caleb Johnson from Iowa next. I'd say Henderson and Judkins are kind of comparable. Cam Scataboo's still out there, though, by the way.
Yeah, we'll see.
I love Cam Scataboo in New Orleans.
Running back.
Scataboo and Kamara? Oh, I just got myself excited unnecessarily.
Yeah, calm down.
Yeah,
all right, the next thing that's Xing is ketchup or ranch.
That's a hell of a debate. If We're talking about French fries. Because I am a French fries and ranch guy. I'm also a French fries and ketchup guy. If you said you got to pick one and we're only having the French fry discussion, I'm going to keep it a buck with you. You might hate me for this. I'd go ranch.
I'm probably going ketchup, but I will tell you that I've got the old Hidden Valley Ranch powder. You throw that on your tater tots or your fries and then dip it in ketchup and you got both worlds.
Ready for the secret? You put that stuff, make you some crock pot chicken with your chicken broth and then put that powder in there. Game changer.
It's pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
All right. The next thing that's asking is Al Pacino.
Al Pacino. It's his birthday?
Yes.
And he's 89.
No, he's 85.
Oh, attaboy, Al.
Not as old as you thought he was. And finally, the last thing that's asking is Fursuit Friday.
Y'all have a great day. Thanks for being here. Hope you enjoyed the show. Hey, I'm live and let live. Love who you want to love. Be with who you want. Do what you want to do. Watch what you want to watch. Listen to what you want to listen to. Except you furries. Y'all got to stop. You make it too weird. Okay? You make it too weird. That's it for us. Thanks for being here. I hope you enjoyed the show today. I hope you enjoyed the show all week. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the rest of the NFL draft. We will break down the draft in its entirety when we return on Monday. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. See you back here Monday to do it all over again on the Rob Brown Show. And the Fan Upstate. Later!